We will huff and puff and burn your church down. That is the title of an article written recently by Dr. Michael Brown, who's a somewhat frequent guest. Actually, I'd like to have you on more often, sir, on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Dr. Brown, great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Always good to be with you.
Okay, so tell us about this article about somebody wanting to and threatening to burn churches down.
Right, so we know that with Antifa and the rioting, that all types of groups have been targeted, that police buildings have been attacked and set on fire with people inside of them, that there have been church buildings vandalized. So now you've got another pastor out west. He's in the midst of the typical Antifa uprisings and things like this. A church that served its community for many years and, you know, been involved and, you know, on the ground helping those in need, et cetera. So they decide to bring in Charlie Kirk. He's worked especially with the younger generation, Turning Point USA.
Yes.
And they're going to have him speak at their church, and they begin getting threats that if you bring him in, we will burn your church down, apparently from Antifa. But he begins to get these threats. And he says, look, the police force is already stretched thin. We've got multiple campuses. We're responsible for the safety of people. And we're just not going to hold the event at all. We'll find another way to get the message out. But he felt, just in fairness to the community, he couldn't set something like this up. I mean, it's completely outrageous that here in America.
Yeah.
Look, there are churches that have people like Louis Farrakhan speak, you know, so... So, Nation of Islam, black supremacist, all this—he could speak. You could invite anybody in on almost any subject in almost any building, no problem. But Charlie Kirk, a Christian and conservative activist, to speak at a church, gets threats. They're going to burn the building down. This is the mob mentality. This is mobocracy. This is what we're facing.
Now, this happened in the state of Washington. Was it basically in the greater Seattle area, or where? Was it more in a rural area? No, that wouldn't be the case. Where did it happen?
No, it's a city I hadn't heard of, but it seems to be in the greater Seattle area.
Oh, okay.
So this
suburb
has
of
been,
Seattle.
You know, yeah, what they've been dealing with for quite some time now.
Yeah, you know, there's something weird about that whole Pacific Northwest. In fact, I was just talking the other day about Portland, and I said to somebody, you know, to my knowledge, the violence there never really has died down, because I still see, you know, stories that flare up, and it sounds as, you know, like it's something that never stops.
Yeah, well, here's something that's interesting just to look at on a larger level. For some years now, the state of Washington has been a national leader in terms of low church attendance, in terms of being one of the darker spiritual places.
Right.
I don't mean that everybody there is evil or holding seances or, you know, invoking spirits of the dead or stuff. But basically, overall, there's been very low church attendance per capita. There's been more rejection of the gospel outright.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise that in an environment like that, that these kinds of things take place. It's not a surprise that you have the violence, that you have the upheaval, and again, it's, you know, there's been Seattle and Washington, there's been Portland and Oregon, and there have just been similarities for whatever reason in some of these parts of the country, and we have to step back and ask, is this what we want all over America? Is this what we want in our home city, hometown? Is this the type of mentality? Do we want to deal with mobocracy? And, you know, Jerry, I remember last year, during some of the race protests, which then turned into riots, that there was one ESPN reporter, and he was cheering them on via tweet: "Burn this blank down, burn this place down," and you know, in crass terms. And then he lived in a gated community. The gang started coming his way, and he's put, "Where are the police? We need the police. Where are the police?" So the tune changed a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting what you were saying about the Pacific Northwest, too, in general, because I remember talking with he was then a University of Pennsylvania professor. Now he's at Baylor. But Dr. Byron Johnson does tremendous work on the social impact of the gospel and of church going and things like that. And Byron Johnson said to me in an interview like 15 years ago or something like that, that the Pacific Northwest is much more godless than the rest of the country as far as church attendance and so forth. And it shows up in some of the statistics. And I remember asking him more details, and he said, well, you know, the crime is higher there. And now we see in the wake of all these riots, it's not like riots are happening right down the street necessarily throughout America, and yet it's almost as if the rioting hasn't really stopped in the Pacific Northwest since the death of George Floyd. Amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, look, there have been people who feel that America is terrible, and America, as we know it, basically must be overthrown, and the way to do it is to take to the streets and get violent. Look, here's what's interesting. We know that one of the stated goals of BLM activists was to get rid of President Trump. I mean, they said it openly and on TV. And as we always do, we stand for every black life while rejecting the activism of BLM. Well, you know, you now have President Biden in. Antifa's not satisfied with that. The radicals will never be satisfied. It's one thing in terms of appeasement. You know, the old line attributed to Winston Churchill, that appeasement is like feeding a crocodile and hoping it will eat you last.
Yeah.
No one can be woke enough. No one can be radical enough. And then you start to turn on your own. You know, I find it interesting that Bruce Jenner, once Jenner begins to speak out against biological boys playing sports with biological girls while being liberal on other issues, suddenly you can attack Jenner for being transgender. But I mean, the left can attack him. They can mock. You know, Bill Maher and others can attack and mock. You couldn't do that if Jenner was totally on the left. But because Jenner dares make a conservative statement, so even a transgender icon is not woke enough now, and the attack comes. It's what we're dealing with. And look, behind it, I believe there's this Marxist lie of this utopian society where there's this perfect equality across the board, and basically the way you get it is through bloodshed. You get it through oppression. You get it through – it never works.
Wow.
And, you know, this whole thing, we're going to tear down the system. Okay, and do what with it? You know, in the 60s, when in the whole hippie scene and all that, and I got caught up with that as a young teenager.
Before you got saved.
There was this dream. Yeah, there was this dream. You know, and the hippies going to live on communes, and they were going to have a better way of life, and there's going to be peace and love and no war. And it was a nice dream, but human nature got in the way of it, and you ended up with sex, drugs, rock and roll, rebellion, and all the rest. Now there's this dream which comes in more violent form. It comes with more anger, and it's the dream of the mobocracy. And if we bow down to it a little, we're going to end up bowing down a lot. Which is why we basically have to stand our ground and push back against this mentality.
Do you have any idea offhand how many churches have been attacked in the last year or so? I do remember in the early days of the riots from, you know, mid-2020, there was a fellow involved with Black Lives Matter who said something like, Jesus is too white, and or something like that. And after he said that, after he said those words, there were attacks and vandalism, as you pointed out earlier today, on churches and statues of Jesus and his mother and so forth. But, you know, overall, anything about his, you know, any idea about numbers of churches being attacked? Burned,
no, I was actually trying to find more data on that when I wrote this article, and it turns out that this city is maybe in question that was threatened with their church building being burned down is maybe 40 something minutes out of Seattle. So again, in the greater Seattle area,
mm-hmm.
Last November, rioters in Portland smashed up a local church that was known for helping the homeless and the mentally ill. So think of that. It's the mindlessness of that. You've got people doing compassionate work on the ground, and they get smashed up. And look, when there were the massive demonstrations in Los Angeles surrounding BLM, there were synagogues that were vandalized, and there were Nazi swastikas painted. And this raised concern at all. All of the talk about justice only goes one way.
Yeah.
All of the speaking out against racism only goes one way.
Yeah.
And that's why you'll never get a good outcome with this. If you can't sit down and say, okay, let's talk together to see what we can do to make America a better country for everyone. If your language is screaming in the streets and burning down buildings and even attacking people that stand in your way, I mean, there have been physical casualties in the midst of this as well, then that is not the language of justice. That is not the language that's going to advance any cause. And at a certain point, the real fear is if this blows up even more in cities, let's say a conservative city that they bring something like this to, where you may have less restrictions on guns and things like this. I mean, what are gun owners going to do if their neighborhood gets invaded by people ready to burn their houses down? I mean, this could get terribly ugly, which is why it's why we've got to step back and isolate these extremist groups, whatever side they're on. Isolate them and say, that's not us. That's not who we are. We're going to stand for what's right. We're not going to back down, but we're going to do so in a civil and righteous way.
You know, it's funny you should say this, and I don't want to go off on a tangent on this, but in Plano, Texas, which I happen to know is in the greater Dallas area, and there are some ministries that exist in Plano, and they do great work. Antifa and Black Lives Matter, you know, those types, were holding a protest blocking traffic, and you could even see police to the side, you know, saying, you know, basically not allowing the people who wanted to go forward. They weren't arresting any of the protesters, you know, as if, well, this is just, you know, First Amendment free expression and that kind of thing. And people were very upset because they weren't able to go where they wanted to go, you know, in the roads. And I thought, well, that's in Plano, Texas. I mean, that's a pretty conservative area.
Right. So most people that are gun owners obviously are restrained in their use of guns and are law abiding. Otherwise, America would just be drenched in blood.
Yeah, be like the Wild West, you know.
Right. Exactly. So you know, it's almost always pointed out that when you have the mass shooting, and I'm not a gun owner personally, I'm not a member of the NRA, but when you have the mass shootings, they almost always are in gun restricted zones. And probably there's more bloodshed in a city like Chicago, you know, with strict gun control laws than just about anywhere else in America.
That's right.
But what you're going to have is people only can get pushed so far. And I'm not saying this is a threat, God forbid. I'm simply saying it concerns me that when violence is your language and violence is your calling card and intimidation is the way you operate, that others may start responding in kind. Because you've got crazies on every side. You've got people that are trigger happy on every side. And when people just decide, we're going to take over, we're going to bring the law into our own hands. You know, the hippie commune tried and failed to do certain things, but it tried and failed in a peaceful way. That's completely different than the so-called autonomous zone in you know, that was set up and you know, they went from Chaz to Chop, and then Chop, they put out a guillotine, and Chop is in off with your heads. This is crazy talk. Mm-hmm. This is craziness. It should not be supported. It should be called out universally by liberal and conservative media and liberal and conservative politicians. And again, let's work together for a better America, and let's say no to these extremist groups that try to intimidate with violence. And for every church and individual, stand your ground. Speak the truth. Stand up for what's right. Don't be intimidated. There's always a cost involved in following Jesus and standing for the truth, but let's do the right thing.
We have 45 seconds left. President Biden, when he was a candidate, said Antifa is just an ideology. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's an ideology with a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of damage. Ideologies don't burn church buildings down. Ideologies don't set police precincts on fire. Ideologies don't take over cities. Antifa is a dangerous movement that must be called out, confronted, and President Trump rightly branded a terrorist group.
AskDrBrown.org for more information. That's where you can read his pieces. In fact, I will link to this particular article for this particular segment. Thank you, Michael Brown. Always a pleasure.
You're very welcome. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.